Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
All right, well, we continue our series, Who is God, today? And for the Why It Matters portion, I really encourage you, if you haven't yet, to catch last week's message. Spend some time describing why it matters. But I do want to maybe bring another perspective, a little aspect to why it matters, right? Why does it matter if we get God right? Well, it matters for many different reasons, not only for eternity, but also for the way we live on a daily basis. And how many of you know we live in an information age? And if you Google the word God, three simple letters, you will get a surprisingly large amount of quote-unquote hits. There's article after article, there's opinion after opinion, there's idea after idea about who is God. And it can be a bit of a fascinating study, but it can also be pretty intimidating. Well, obviously, as a church that believes in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our source of salvation, we are Christians. And so we follow Christ. And we're doing this series not necessarily that you are a Christ follower. You may be here and are just curious, who is God? Well, I think this will help you and give you some perspective. But we are also doing this for people that are new to their relationship with Christ, and also maybe some that have been on the journey with God for a while. And how many of you know, we all need a reminder from time to time, just who are we following? And more importantly, what is God's nature towards us? And so last week we looked at one name called Elohim. I'm not going to do a heavy recap on that. You can find, again, that that message is available online. Today, we're going to be looking at a different name, just kind of one more name. And we're not going to cover all the names of God. This series is going to be going through the month of March. But by the end of March, the beginning of April, you should have kind of five names of God and be able to kind of detail at least a little bit what those names look like. But here's why. The names of God reveal the nature of God. And one of the kind of examples I use, when you think about God, you know, they're depending on, if you were to ever do this, which I do not recommend, right? But we've probably all done it, right? And we're like, man, I don't know what to read. Let me do this. Come on, you ever done this? Okay. If you've done that, cool. Let me tell you this. Don't just make major life decisions doing that, all right? But it is kind of one of those things, especially maybe if you came to Christ and really dove deep as I did in my younger years. That was something fun to do. Like, all right, what am I going to read today? And it's like, you know, like, Dad, I don't know what this means. Or Mom, what does this mean? And sometimes figuring out God can feel a little bit like that. And so we want to do this series to really equip you and to encourage you and to really inspire you. But here's another reason why. The enemy of your soul, here's what he wants to do. One of his tactics is to discount or distract you from the nature and the knowledge of God in your life. And so all of us understand the statement, God is love, all right? And so what the enemy of our soul does, what the evil one does to us, he wants to distract us from that reality. We get this understanding. You can see it clearly, not only in the Old Testament, but especially in the New Testament with the life of Christ. You can get this sense. You can get this understanding. You can get this picture that God is love. In fact, 1 John talks about that. God is just that. He's love. Well, here's what's amazing. Sometimes our circumstances, sometimes other people in our life sure don't make us feel love, do they? And we can go through a portion or a season or a journey in our life, and we kind of project that on God. And so instead of living from the knowledge of who God is for us, The enemy of our soul has tricked us into believing a lie, and now all of a sudden we let our circumstances dictate an awareness or a knowledge or an idea about God. And so now when we look to God, we've got that in front of us. We've got, nah, God doesn't really love you. God couldn't really care for you. God's heart isn't really for you. And so one of the things I want to do is I want to equip you when the devil comes to lie to you. And when the devil tries to whisper to you, one of my favorite bands is called Need to Breathe, and they got the song Devil's Been Talking. It's just great jam. But it's this reality that sometimes in our day-to-day lives, the devil has been talking. And he's been stirring up lies, or he's been stirring up distractions, and every once in a while he'll stir up a disappointment. And what we begin to do is we begin to question, man, who is God? What's his nature towards us? And so some of that is clearing the air. I just want to get back to some basics in some regards, but also I want to equip you, especially in today's name, which is Jehovah Jireh. I want to equip you to know that God is your provider. The name Jehovah Jireh just means that God, my provider. And so if you have your Bibles, I invited you to read with me in Genesis 22. We are jumping into a phenomenal story, a phenomenal passage. And to bring us all up to speed, this is kind of a pivotal, maybe even the pivotal, maybe even the pinnacle of Abraham's story. Abraham and his wife Sarah were called by God. It happens in Genesis 11. Genesis 11 through Genesis 25. It's the whole story of Abraham and the starting of the Israelites, so the nation of Israel. And so what we have is in Genesis 11, God says, hey, Abraham, leave. Or maybe your Bible says, go. And God's like, don't worry, I've got this. I've got you. You have no idea where you're going, but head in this direction. And so Abraham steps out in faith, and he goes in this long journey, and God begins to pull him aside and just to whisper and just to share and just to reveal his promises to Abraham. And things are going pretty smooth in some moments. Things get real rocky in other moments. You know, Abraham doubts. Abraham has fears, much like us. Abraham gets overwhelmed with his anxieties. You know, Abraham takes things into his own control, starts telling lies, starts trying to manipulate the situation. Does this sound familiar for you? Maybe just for me, right? Trying to, he has control issues. And all the while, though, God is leading and guiding, and God never changes his promises over Abraham's life. Well, it reaches this pivotal stage. At 75, that's Genesis 11. Abraham's 75 when he says, go, and I'm going. Well, at 100, God brings a child. And his wife, Sarah, is 90. It's remarkable. God brings forth this promise. And then God tests. In fact, Genesis 22 in your Bible, or on the online Bible app, it may say, Abraham is tested, or Abraham's test. Some translations render it. And so you see this test, God invites him, it really establishes, hey, I want you to give your son up. It's just so many. I wouldn't propose to know all the angles of this particular passage. It's pretty unique in some ways. Let's be honest, it's kind of disturbing. It's just a little tragic. You're like, wow, the promise, this is epic. Now I got to surrender it. It's kind of like, I don't want to, you know, what's going on? And all we know is that God had summoned Abraham to lay down or surrender in this moment, surrender this greatest promise. And so Abraham is there, and we pick up in verse 12, Isaac, his son, is laid on the altar. Abraham's pulled back like this. You can get this picture. And an angel of the Lord comes. And the angel of the Lord says, well, verse 11, it says, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, here I am, he replied. And then verse 12. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. One of the greatest moments of need, one of the greatest moments of sacrifice, we don't really get to read the thread of Abraham's thoughts or if he was on Twitter tweeting out, you know, following the journey. We don't get to really pull that up and get to see what exactly was running through his mind. But I'm sure he was having some moments of freak out. I'm sure he was having some moments of questioning. I'm sure he was struggling a little bit, like, God, what's going on? And so you see, though, he still is obedient. He surrenders his son, if you will, and is willing to lay down the promise as an act of obedience to God. And in that moment, you see this pause, and he passed, if you will, the test, the obedience test. And out of the corner of his eye, he sees the ram caught in the thicket, right? And he goes, or in the bush, and goes and gets the ram, and then participates in worship at that time through the sacrifice of this lamb. And it's in that moment he says what? He says, the Lord provided, or the Lord shall provide. And that is a name, one of the names of God. I want to tell you, before everything I'm about to cover, I want you to think about that name in your relationship with God. I want you to just go there with me and believe about the possibilities in your life and over your life. I mean, like right now, this truth being said. God will provide. I want you to think about that. I don't know what need you're facing. I don't know what burden you're carrying. I don't know what circumstances and spider web of events you may find yourself caught in. But I want to declare this truth. One of the names of God, which reveal his nature over our lives, it's simple, but it's so profound. God will provide. And even time and time again over Abraham's life, when he made his own mistakes, got caught in his own circumstances, can I tell you, even then you can trace the whispers in moments of that name. God will provide. And I want to tell you that truth remains over each one of us in our relationship with God. That is the truth. God will provide. Now, we're an American society, right? So after this, we're all going to either go home and make lunch, which will take a very short amount of time, or we are going to go to a fast food place, or we're going to go to a sit-down restaurant. Either way, we're going to get lunch in a window of, what, about 30 to 45 minutes. Some of you came today and lunch is already, it's working in that crock pot. You got it sizzling or steaming or all everything. You got a roast going. I mean, when you get home, it's going to be done. That is a picture of American culture. And honestly, that is the picture many times of our relationship with God. It is this: God, I need this, preferably now, in Jesus' name, amen. And then oftentimes what? It doesn't happen, does it? And what do we find? We find ourselves questioning the nature of God. Here's the deal. Abraham would find himself in that same boat. Now, he was in a culture that's a lot slower, a lot less caffeinated, a lot less hyped up than American culture can be. But he nonetheless found himself doubting God's timing, doubting the promises of God. But I want you to see, the title, the nature of God, was still true even in the midst of Abraham's fears and anxieties, of his trials and his temptations. Abraham's nature may have shifted. He may be found, as James talks about, the double-minded. Abraham had some moments of double-mindedness or a double-minded heart. But can I tell you, time and time again, we see what? We see God provided, Jehovah Jireh. And I want to just share that truth with you today. I want to comfort your soul. I want to just bring peace to maybe some restlessness in your mind. Maybe you've got some restlessness in your heart today and you need to hear this. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh is the name that God gives himself in this passage, or that Abraham even actually says out loud and says to God. Jehovah Jireh, real quick, let me teach you for just a couple minutes. Jehovah Jireh, it's two words in one. Jehovah, it's an Israel specific, meaning no other world religion uses the name Jehovah or Yahweh, only Israel, and then Christian. It's a Judeo-Christian name. It reveals God as the eternal, self-existent one, the God of revelation, the God of moral and spiritual attributes of righteousness, holiness, love, and therefore of redemption. Now Jaira is actually a lot less magnificent. It's not as detailed. It's not as large as the name Jehovah. We could spend a whole series on the name just Jehovah. Jaira is very simple. It's this. It's a verb, and it's to see. It's not to provide. It's actually to see. To think about that. And here's where this word really begins to take off for us. It's that God sees what we need. God sees what you and I need. It's pre-vision over our lives, and it leads to God's provision over our lives. These two Latin words, we get the English word provision, to see beforehand. And that's where it's coming from, to see beforehand. And so I want you to think about this. God, in his leading of Abraham, what does he do? He sees. He's got a prevision. God, this Jehovah title of God, is the one who's not trapped in time, space, but he is the eternal one, Alpha and Omega. He sees the grand picture. He know he's got the master plan, right? He envisions and he can see everything. And so in his prevision, not just on a macro giant kind of way, but in a micro personal kind of way, he sees your life and he's got a prevision and he has a provision for your life. He is there to meet your need. I remember when my parents told me this as I grew up. When I was two, come on, you barely remember anything from when you were two. But when I was two, my parents moved over, and my family, we moved to the United States. We're originally from Cape Town, South Africa, and we moved over to the United States to study for ministry. Well, my dad got the call, if you will, from God, sensed that calling within him, and my mom at the same time was hearing similar things, and they just knew, man, God, it's getting time to take our next step. You really seem to be leading us in this direction. Well, there was a professor actually from a seminary right across the river that happened to be doing some mission work and was going around churches in Cape Town and was speaking at an event. They connected, and next thing they knew, it was getting ready time to come over for the beginning of the fall semester studying to be in ministry. One problem, they didn't have what they needed to move. My parents didn't have any of the provision. It all kind of, this calling happened pretty rapidly. And it wasn't that their fingers were tied. They were just like, okay, God, this is great. But if you're calling this, we certainly don't have the means to make it happen. I wonder what God's going to do. So they prayed. And they just remained faithful in their local church. And here's something remarkable that happened. Their house, it would have been our house again. I was two. So I'm just along for the ride at that point. And, the perfect child I was, making the house calm and peaceful at 2 years of age. You know, you can only imagine. But we were there, and the house was bought. And now the currency there is rand. The house was bought for 38,000 rand. Well, in 3 years, it had gone up and was at a selling price of 158,000 rand. In 3 years, an increase of almost four times. And in just a matter of days, literally almost a matter of hours, the house sold. There was enough supply to last the entire duration of studying in the United States, more than enough. So I share that story to, yes, increase your faith, but also to give you a picture of that pre-vision and then subsequently God's pro-vision. It's not limited to just monetary, kind of the monetary area of life. It's not limited to just money. It could be relationships. God knows if you're in here, I want you to think about it. God knows if you're in here and you're lonely, guess what? God has a prevision of that loneliness. And what does he do? He brings people alongside you. Now, it may not happen as quickly as you want. It may not happen in all the ways you want. But what does he do? Well, he does what the word in Proverbs says, that he sets the lonely in family. Maybe your next step is to truly get plugged in to a local life-giving church, spiritual family. It could be part of God's prevision is his provision. And right now, he may be giving you a local church, maybe nudging you, maybe encouraging you to step in. I know it can't always be easy. I know, man, it's church. No perfect people, right? I get it. And we're just trying to navigate some of the people, maybe different than what you thought and all this, and you're kind of weighing up. But can I tell you, in the pre-vision, God provides, and here's why. Because he knows your journey of life. He knows what could be around the bend. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying that there may be circumstances or a portion of life, a season of life, when you're going to need some people in your life. And so what does he do? In his pre-vision, he invites you to take a step of faith, jump into the journey of faith, and he has provided what you need. It's a remarkable, it's a beautiful picture of God's nature towards us. And here's the biggest thing. I said this earlier in first service. Here's the reality, right? To know God as provider, what is the missing ingredient? You have to be in need. That's the missing ingredient, right? I don't know, I'm speculating here, but in the area of need, right now, today may be a tough day for Bill Gates to know God on a personal level as Jehovah Jireh. He may know God or need to lean in and know God in all sorts of ways. But when you have billions of dollars, how many of you know, at least in the monetary sense, you don't really need to know God as Jehovah Jireh. But here's a beautiful picture. All of us need to know God as this name, Jehovah Jireh, and here's why. As Romans would say, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And you know what the greatest gift of God was for us, his humanity? Peace with God, relationship with God, made possible through the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And in fact, in this very story, in this very moment, there's a mirror picture of God's divine providence for you and for I. You see, Jehovah Jireh, sometimes we can limit it to, right, our wallet, our billfold, our bank account. That's fine. That's one area. But we can't. I want to encourage you, in the midst of this, don't just box God into, well, okay, Jehovah Jireh is just, pastor is just preaching about God meeting our monetary needs. No. That may be an area he needs, but he also meets our needs relationally. Can I tell you how else he reaches our needs? He oftentimes makes us awake to his calling and his purposes and his eternal purposes that we have on our lives. There's all sorts of ways that God moves, all sorts of invitations that God gives us. Jehovah Jireh, to know God in the nature of our provider is to be in the relationship of faith with God. I like to tell people, God is the only one that it's safe to be codependent with. We don't need to be in codependent relationships. Amen, somebody, right? Except when it comes to God, we need to live in dependence upon him. And Jehovah Jireh is our promise. It's our declaration. It is not only an inspiration, but it is a anchor for the soul that can be tossed to the left and to the right, that can be bound by the comparison trap where you consistently live like you never have enough. And God would whisper to you, I am Jehovah Jireh. I have given you enough for today. Be at rest, be at peace. I provide all you need. And so we continue just for a few moments here. I want to highlight a couple characteristics of Abraham's story. First is God called Abram to live a journey of faith. He didn't call him to a moment of faith, but if you can characterize Abraham's journey with one word, it is faith, but it's not a moment, it's a movement, it's a lifestyle. Abraham never checks one box and is settled. No. It's a picture of your and my journey with Christ, journey with God. It's a daily lifestyle of leaning in, of trusting him. I once heard a great message called, You Need More Need. And it was a challenge. Because in our culture, we can become somewhat settled, somewhat complacent, somewhat comfortable. And I want to encourage you, if you get settled on anything, get settled in the nature of God's love towards you. If you get comfortable with anything, get comfortable with the nature of God's love towards you, his hope, his goodness and his peace towards you. That way, no matter what steps of faith, you just know how loved you are by God. So no matter what step of faith you take, you know you're not going to fail because God loves you too much. He always comes through. And so Abraham's journey, though, you get this beautiful picture, right? This invitation in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says this: leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. That right there is that, that's that picture of Jesus, isn't it? Where he says in Luke, he calls his disciples and he says, listen, 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 foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lie his head. It's kind of like, well, what? That's kind of uncomfortable, but what is it? Is he literally saying he doesn't sleep at night and he doesn't know where to abide? No, he's not saying that. He does have a place to lay his head. But what was he saying? He was saying it's a picture of the journey. It's a lifestyle of faith. That listen, listen, it's not necessarily you're moving locale, but you're operating in a lifestyle, in a relationship that God prompts you. I mean, sometimes God prompts you. God may prompt you today. You got to give somebody 50 bucks. You come into worship, music's playing, you're just worshiping God, and God's like, hey, there's somebody four or five rows behind you. No, I want you to give them 50 bucks. And you're like, well, that wasn't God. That was my pizza. Honey, I told you we should have had breakfast. And God's like, no, remember, this thing's daily, right? It's not just a ticket to heaven, right? This is daily. I want you to sacrifice. I want you to stretch yourself. No, I don't want to, God. I just want to worship. Forget it. You are good. Good. Yeah. You know, like, I don't want to. Don't stretch. Just, God, I'm comfortable. Don't make me step into faith. I said, we settled that. God's like, no, you may have settled it. It's settled in the heavenlies, yes, but guess what? You may have been unaware of what you signed on to. And you signed up for a faith journey. And so you see this in the life of Abraham, that God says, come and follow me. I am, as you will in Genesis 22, I am Jehovah Jireh. And guess what, Graham? When you were almost 40, I have called you to go to the United States to begin preparing for ministry. I don't know what you are talking about, God. And we push back. Or maybe in the middle of worship and we just push back. Or maybe it's a nudge. You're driving home. We have one of our team members. He was driving home one day to spend time with his family, and God encourages him to pull over into community park. And he doesn't know why. He can't understand fully. But he connects with somebody from his past at a place he used to work, and connects with a mom and their child, and he's able to speak words of life, speak words of hope, speak words of peace. Didn't know why. When he turned in to the park, he had no idea why, but when he goes there, God's moving here and coordinates for a God moment. But it's faith. We've got to walk with a level of trust, right? We've got to walk with that. And so that's what Abraham finds himself. He's living in promise. God just searches and sifts his heart again, and it seems so crazy. It seems a bit disturbing, somewhat tragic. It's like, I'm not going to use this passage to try to reach people for Jesus. Like, avoid Genesis, 20:22. That testing stuff's weird. But what is it a picture? It's a picture of surrender. We keep the faith journey going. Whatever you say, God, I'm here. I'm willing. It's faith. It's faith. God has invited us. God has called for us. God invited us into his plans, into his ways. And so he says, will you be faithful to come? Will you be faithful to trust me? And as you do, as you walk, as you trust, guess what? You're going to know my nature. Do you recognize, listen, do you recognize not everybody in here has the same relationship with God? It's not that one's better and one's worse. Do you recognize that? It's not that there's somebody's right, somebody's wrong. No. We're all at different levels of relationship with God. But can I assure you and encourage you, there is one way to take your relationship with God to the next level. And that's through obedience. That's through obedience. The second one is Abraham obeyed. That every time God whispers, every time God nudges, every time the Holy Spirit just directs your steps, can I tell you, when you obey, That takes your relationship to a greater level. And here's where it goes. A greater level of intimacy with God. Greater level of intimacy with God. If you right now are functioning in your relationship with God and it's at a what I call a belief system level, that's great. But God did not die so you can have a belief system faith. He died to set heaven in the hearts of humanity. And it's made possible through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus died, so we could be in relationship with God. It's not just a belief system, but it's a day-to-day relationship with God. And I want you to think about this. We get to experience that Jehovah Jireh. There have been moments in my life where things have been budgeted accordingly, things have been structured wisely, everything's in plan, but some strange things and hiccups come along the way. And then I leave to come out of my driveway and open the mailbox, unbeknown to have a $1,000 check written to Kelly and myself that went straight to a need that surprised us out of nowhere. Though everything was structured and in place and in plan, there was this random surprise and it stretched us. We didn't let it stretch us, but surprises happen. And what happens? Well, you walk by faith. You walk by obedience. You don't have to freak out, though I may have a little bit. You don't have to, because why? God's my provider. He will provide. He will provide. We take, often, think about it, even in relationships, we take things so much into our own hands, into our own control. Relinquish control, trust God, everything you have to be the spouse you need to be the friend you need to be the son, to be the daughter, to be the person you need to be. Just be at rest. God will provide. You're fully loaded now with your daily bread. You can be at peace because you're walking by faith. You're walking by obedience. Amen? Is this making sense? And so Abraham was invited. I'm not proposing it was an easy journey. I love that Abraham was not the father of our faith, or that he was and not me. I wouldn't wish his journey on anybody, right? It's crazy. Can we bring up that graphic, my plans, God plans? Here's the plan I want. I want the top. You see the purple? Come on, somebody. I just want that. That's what I call my plan. That's like my plan. I remember when I answered the call from God. My plan. Thank you, Jesus. I am going to serve you all my days. I felt a touch on my life for full-time ministry. And man, I stepped into my plan. It was God's plan. Don't misread me. But I had just so gracefully actually written out God's plan for him on his behalf. That was a beautiful picture. And it looked like the top part. But then the bottom part is actually what happened. There were roadblocks. There was a faith test. There was a reroute. There was construction. There was a toll road. There was a pothole that surprised me. There was, goodness sakes, a ginormous detour. So it looks like Grantline Road. There was a speed bump. And then there was a gate code. It's like, God, what are you doing? God's like, I'm growing your faith. It would only be after a few years that God gave me a word I needed to hear, and that is, Paul, I always prepare the man before the ministry. And I was like, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. But what I did... We just remain steadfast. And can I tell you, that's a little bit of my journey, a little bit of my picture, but what about yours? What about yours? What is God need you? Maybe you're in a season, maybe I don't know what arena it is, but you're getting ready to hit that. I know we have some wrestling fans in the building, so I'm just going by what I know. But when they tap, okay, I'm going by Nacho Libre, all right? Nacho Libre. Any good message has Nacho Libre in it, but... Where they hit and tap, they tap for somebody else to come in. And I reference that as tapping out, like I'm getting out of the fight. I don't want in. It's like, come on, sometimes you feel like, you know, God's your partner, and he's like, got his hand, and you just get enough. And he's like, nope, it's over here. And so you have to remain in the battle. And it could be exhausting. It's not going the way it planned. It was unexpected. And then you make mistakes on top of the unexpected things. There's surprises, and it's just this whole conundrum. But what's happening in the midst of that? What's happening in the midst of that is every problem is a possibility to know the God of the promise over our lives. Know the God of the promise over our lives. That's why I encourage, I know we just came out of a relationship series, but marriage is such a pivotal one. I encourage people to know the promise over your marriage. Know the promise over your health. Know the promise over your future, over your relationships, over your children, over your friendships, over your own life. Because it will be tested, but we've got to keep, right? We've got to keep steady. Perseverance probably isn't preached enough in churches these days. Perseverance is pivotal. It requires that we persevere, that we have faith. And can I tell you, in due season, the harvest occurs. This third and last thought is that God provided everything Abraham needed for the journey. God provided everything Abraham needed for the journey. We will be able to, at the end of our journey, we will be able to look back and see God provided. I look back at some very difficult seasons, some very needy seasons, if that makes sense. Whether it was relationally, or whether it was physically in my body, or whether it was mentally in my mind, or whether it was in the deep places of my heart, or even at times whether it was tangible, monetary, needy seasons of life, I'm able to look back. And you know what I'm able to look back at? God's faithfulness. Time and time and time again. That's why Matthew 6 really makes no sense. And Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And then to insult us Americans even more, he says, do not worry. Like, come on, Jesus. Like, our culture teaches us, those are our two best friends, anxiety and worry. It's like, and Jesus says, no. Let me invite you in a lifestyle of faith. Let me invite you to knowing your identity in Christ, knowing that God and His nature is the same from everlasting to everlasting. God will provide. I'm going to tell you, His prevision brings forth His provision. Amen? I'm going to end with a quick kind of praise. A couple weeks ago, I'm a verbal processor. Let me start the story there. Any verbal processors out there? Okay, anybody ever stick their foot in their mouth? Yeah, okay, you're a verbal processor. You're just figuring it out. You're welcome. That's worth the price of admission, right? So what you do is your thoughts get spoken before you had time to bring your thought full circle, right? So you're just kind of chatting. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was talking with somebody in my office, and we were talking about, you know, man, we know God's called for us to be a church that reaches, right? That's part of our heart. And we're doing that. We're reaching others. And so I was verbally processing with this guy, great member of our church, and I was just chatting. I call it spitballing. You ever just spitball? You ever spitball with your spouse and they're taking it seriously and you're like, no, that's just an idea. I didn't mean Disney cruise next week. We were spitballing, you know, maybe. You don't stick your foot in your mouth like that. But I was just chatting. We were just talking about outreaches. And he was letting me know, you know, of some church, a church he was part of in Florida one time, just some great things they did. And we just stumbled in. And I was like, oh, man, it would be awesome. It would be awesome if we had this one thing going, if we had this area of ministry going. Man, it could be cool. It could be cool. I could see God doing something there. And, you know, we just prayed, ended our time. Well, then we have men's night, which we have on the last Thursday of every month. Well, we have men's night. Before men's night goes, I get this text, and it has to do with our meeting. And here's what it said. It said, hey, I think I found the van we were talking about. And I was like, I don't remember really. Like, what were we talking about? I knew a little bit of what we were talking about, but I was like, this is moving way too fast. This is a little crazy. I don't know what's going on. You know, and he said, no, remember that, the outreaches, the reaching people, the building lives, we're going to make a way, right? There are people who need to be here, who can't be here, we got to get something going, we're going to make a way to make this. And I was like, okay, but But here's my personality. Let's take the month and plan. Let's pause. Let's breathe. Let's pull out our schedules. Let's have a few more meetings. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna wait for Isaac before the altar. You know what I mean? I'm like, let's just wait. Let's just. God didn't want to do it that way. And so last Monday, I'm meeting this gentleman and another gentleman in a bank. And on behalf of Hillside, I just get to be the recipient for you, you're welcome, of receiving a van that was given here to our church by God. And here's the unique thing. God has a pre-vision. What's his pre-vision? Reach more people with the love of God. Amen? Is that vision fulfilled? Easy answer, no. Okay, you're like, no, it's not. What do we have? We have a pre-vision. God wants to reach this community in unprecedented ways. The people God wants to touch. Their homes he wants to fill with his spirit. Relationships he wants to heal. Their parents who are struggling that just need, they don't realize it. They're in a cycle of addiction, a cycle of fear, a cycle of failing. They beat themselves up and they go after a bottle or they go after addiction. They've got habits in their lives. And what they don't know is they need Jesus. And they need us and people to go and get them, go and reach them, go and touch them with the love of God. And we were about in that phrase, you know, I love, like, let's just spitball. Spitball. But God hears spitballs. Please don't quote me on that. But what I mean is spitball conversations. God's in those holy moments, isn't he? And so think about that. God's pre-vision to reach. And here's what God does. God uses us, uses gentlemen. He partners, uses this family, partners with. Why does God partner? He partners for us to provide what he made possible. Amen? So there's an invitation on the table. We need your help. We got to get a plan together and put some things together. I want to invite you. If you're interested in participating in what will be becoming an outreach ministry provided by God to reach more people with the love of God, I want to let you know, you can sign up. It says out there, outreach opportunity. We got so many details, we just don't even know the name of it yet, right? So, there you go. I want to encourage you, if something is in your heart to reach out, if you're willing to maybe give some of your time to just touch one more, reach one more outside of our Sunday, well, outside of our services, for one more people, one more family, with the love of God, I want to encourage you, you can sign up back there. But I want you to see the picture for your life. Yes, some testimonies from my life, from the church, but I want you to see the picture for your life. You need to settle in your soul. Does God know your every need? You need to settle in your soul. Can God provide and meet your every need? First step is actually to settle your soul. Two greatest disciplines are the two greatest rejected in our busy culture: silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. You get quiet and you're by yourself. And in that space of time, I don't know how, but it becomes an altar. For me, it's upstairs in our guest room. It's a place that I can sit in silence and the nature of God is reconfirmed to my heart. So I can leave as my day begins, resting in the knowledge of who God is over my life. Because life can get cray-cray real quick. You get that text, you get that call, you get that boss, or if you're the boss, you get that employee, you get that bill. And can I tell you, if I have not settled in the deepest places of my heart that God is Jehovah Jireh, then I am no longer living by faith, but I can find myself living in a bit of what I call just chaos, anxiety. All the while, Jesus has invited us, come to me, all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. How's your rest today? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider, will give you all the rest you could ever need. Don't get in a frenzy. Don't get too fast. Don't get too panicky. Don't try to make things happen in your own strength. Rest in the knowledge of who God is over your life. He will meet every need you have. Amen. God, thank you for your good news. Thank you for your hope and your peace and your love towards us. I bless your people, God. I thank you, God, that you are a faithful, faithful God. I thank you, Lord, that that provision that comes from you, it's the same as your prevision over our lives. That you've given many of us responsibilities, God. We thank you that we don't have to fulfill those in our own strength, but you've given us all that we need. You've given us all we need to be a good student. You've given us all we need to be a good spouse. You've given us all we need to be great parents, Lord, to be good friends, to be great daughters and sons. We thank you, Lord, that as we yield our lines of control, and surrender our plans as Abraham did and lay them before you. We thank you that as we surrender those, we, Lord, take on your promises over our life. And I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name. Come on, just as we continue with one more prayer today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. In Genesis 22, this passage with Isaac and Abraham, it's a picture of God and the gift of his own son, Jesus Christ. That God so loved you and I that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's word for you and I today, is that God loves us. And it's a beautiful picture that Jesus would willingly lay down his life. And in that moment on the cross, he would take upon himself all of humanity's sins so that we could step into a relationship with God. And I want to give you an invitation, this prayer. I want to invite you to say this prayer with me and begin that relationship with God today. Amen? Come on, say this with me. Heavenly Father, I need your grace. I need Jesus. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I repent of my way of living. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I trust you with my future, God. Have your way in me. I call you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am saved, set free, living life according to your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate God's goodness this morning one more time?
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, HillsideChurch.us. God bless.